I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 611. Hi, how are you?
Goodbye, baby.
It's the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Show number 1107. Governor Rauner, on the day he'd like to be renominated, we'll be on the show this morning at 7:20. Rick Pearson will be on the show right after that. And nobody knows more about city and state politics than Rick Pearson. You know what he is? He's the best political writer in America.
That he is.
Well, we start today with some more tough news. Austin, Texas, and that geographical area of Texas, under siege. A fifth explosion has occurred, this in a FedEx facility between San Antonio and Austin. In a package destined for Austin and believed to be connected, obviously, to the first four explosions. Five explosions in the course of 2.5 weeks. It's dramatic, it's frightening, and at least outwardly, there are no clues as to who this lunatic is. By comparison, the Unabomber, I believe, 20 years? 20-year stretch for the Unabomber, late 70s to about 1995, 96.
It was a long stretch.
So, and three people died over the course of all that time with the Unabomber. I think we've had more deaths than that this month from this, by way of comparison again, that this guy or this woman, whoever this person is, extremely dangerous. So,
two dead, four wounded.
How many?
Two dead, four wounded.
Okay.
In the four attacks. And then this one, there was another.
And we don't know what the injuries or anything are at FedEx, right?
One person injured, not life-threatening.
Okay, good. Until we know more, we don't know anymore. And it's just very frightening. And listen, if you work, I hadn't even thought about FedEx, but if you work at a UPS or a FedEx facility anywhere in Texas, but certainly around Austin.
Oh, my God.
You're a little bit nervous, aren't you?
A little bit, yep, absolutely.
You got to bet that they probably put out the bomb dogs later today to search all these facilities.
And I would assume it's going to slow down everything.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, if you're listening in Austin this morning or San Antonio or anywhere in southern Texas, maybe don't yell at your FedEx driver if he's late today.
You know how many calls they had just in Austin over the past 2 weeks for people calling? You know, you receive a package in the mail or something, say you ordered. 600 calls for residents saying, please come and check my package. I'm not going to open it yet.
Yeah, I mean, you understand the concern.
Of course. I wouldn't open it.
You know, and it's kind of made me, even here, think twice about picking up one of my neighbor's packages and bringing them inside the building.
The copycat nuts are the concern,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
But this person appears to have considerable skill, and that's part of the concern about this, the planning that seems to have gone into this with three different platforms of bombs that have gone off, a tripwire, a package bomb, and now this. Whether this was intended to go off in a handling facility or not, it doesn't appear to be the case because Austin appears to be the target. This looks like it may be an accident. But nonetheless, very scary situation for the people of Austin, Texas in particular, but Texas in general. And they've called out everybody now. I mean, everybody's on this, as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
The best minds in the business. I know there is some concern that this could be ex-cop, ex-military because of the level of expertise. But you don't know. You don't know. So that's a huge story, and we will keep an eye on it. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get to the top six at six in just a second. Before we do that, I remind you it is Election Day, and it's Make America Vote Again. So we want you to get out there and vote, people. Today is the day.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one in your top six at six, a primary that's as important as any you've ever seen. Today, you will help decide who is going to be in the general election ballot for governor, for attorney general, for statewide offices, and for local offices as well. Please go out and vote, regardless of your party, regardless of how you feel. Polls open now till 7?
7 p.m., yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll cover it all day. Text question today is, if you refuse to vote in the primary, I'd like to know why. 312-981-7200. It's our own research project. If you're just saying, I'm not going to vote in the primary, Steve, yes? I'm not going to vote in the primary. Why? I'd like to know why. 312-981-7200 is the number. We continue. Cambridge Analytica is a firm that was founded in part by Steve Bannon, the ousted former member of the Trump administration. And he and others at Cambridge Analytica, funded largely by the Republican donors, the Mercers, are in some hot water this morning. Considerably so, because 50 million Facebook users' private data seems to have been pilfered slash exploited by Cambridge Analytica during the 2016 campaign. There's much more to come on this story, but a sidebar to it, Mark Zuckerberg, the co-founder of Facebook, has said very little, if nothing, about it. Maybe he's doing like a Paul Ryan or a Mitch McConnell impression. We don't know.
No. Sounds like it, though.
But he has said almost nothing about it. And yet, MarketWatch, the website MarketWatch, CBS MarketWatch formerly, is reporting that Mark Zuckerberg sold a whole bunch of stock 2 or 3 days ago.
Yesterday.
With the feeling this is coming. Well, his last level of sales was yesterday. So he lost how much? $5 billion in wealth?
$5 billion yesterday.
But he could have lost much more.
Right. He earned about $40 million from the stock sale yesterday.
I don't know that you can accuse the guy that runs the company of insider trading, can you? I mean, Martha Stewart ran her company. I don't know how that works.
I think it depends on how you file it with the SEC. I think if you do it in a way that's, you know, there's a transparency type of report there, I think you can do it.
Well, it depends on where you get the information, too, right? Because if it's insider trading, there's got to be an insider who's giving you the information so that you would make the trade.
Yeah, and I think in this case, you know, he did it late into the news cycle about what was going on with Cambridge Analytica. The final sale, as you said, was yesterday morning. So, you know, that was after a full weekend of coverage.
Right.
So, I mean, if he would have sold it like last week and the news would have popped Friday.
It just looks bad.
It does. It does.
Next, Michael Farrow is a guy that we have seen for the last few years, at least, get out of his black SUV and saunter into this Tribune Tower and go up to the third floor newsroom. I guess the executive offices probably aren't on the third floor.
Fourth, yeah.
The fourth floor. And our former partners, the Chicago Tribune, have been run by Mr. Farrow and the company whose name he changed to Tronk. Farrow has now been asked to step down and did step down from the board of Tronk on Monday, hours before Fortune magazine published a story online accusing him of inappropriate sexual behavior towards two women while in his previous role as head of a Chicago investment firm. More to come on that story. The five-month effort to keep the Weinstein Company afloat is over. The Hollywood studio filed for bankruptcy protection yesterday. Isn't it funny to use the word protection in a Harvey Weinstein story when the protection is for the company? Mm-hmm. Anybody who suffered or witnessed any form of sexual misconduct is also freed from NDAs, the non-disclosure agreements, so that they can talk openly about what happened to them as the Weinstein Company, or what's left of it, said this is the justice that they deserve. To not be held to an NDA.
Good. That's a good move.
And the last member of the White Rhino family named Sedan has died at age 45. That's the last male member. There's only two females of the endangered species that remain.
Two ever? Like two in the world?
Apparently so.
Wow. Yep.
Of the white rhinos.
So the way this works is now that there's not a male rhino, those women are all on their own.
Well, let me ask you a stupid question.
And they're like, woo! No.
Well, let me ask you a stupid question. Do you bank rhino sperm, when you see this coming?
You'd probably have to. Well, now is it too late? Can you take...
It might be too late because you have to have some genetic diversity. And so, you might be able to get a couple of pairs going from this old guy's...
Well, I don't mean a dead guy. I mean, scientists obviously saw the end coming here. So did they somehow harvest I'm not quite sure how you would do this, harvest white rhino male sperm knowing that they would need it down the road.
Oh, God.
You've just painted a picture in my head.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
Can't get it out of your head.
So a white rhino goes into a sperm donation clinic, you know, in an overcoat.
Sounds like a joke.
Yeah. Well, that's a sad story, obviously.
It is,
a species is eliminated, but I don't know the science behind this. And Steve said words right there that I don't understand, but I'll look them up. I have Google. Next. Sister Jean, the most tweeted person of the NCAA tournament on this past weekend. She'll be on Good Morning America this morning. She played and coached basketball, and she's been the men's basketball chaplain for the past 24 years at Loyola of Chicago. It's interesting that she played, because for many, many, many years, women's basketball had different rules where the women, the two members of the women's team could only go to half court. So you'd have a three-on-three situation in the offensive zone. But she probably played against Nath Smith's sister. You know, I mean, she's 98.
Might have been, yeah.
You know, or at least relatives of. But Sister Jean, we love Sister Jean, everybody does. Her bracket, by the way, has Loyola going out.
Yes, which she has gotten some. It's not trash talk when you're talking
needled.
She's being needled a bit by Clayton Custer, the guard, who said he's hoping she's wrong, and obviously
everybody is. One of the kids, I don't know who it was great. He said, "We love Sister Jean, but we got to bust her bracket."
That was him.
That was Custer.
Yeah. Okay.
She's so cute.
We will hopefully connect with her at some point, but hopefully she'll be very wrong as Nevada and Loyola Chicago Ramblers play on Thursday. What time of the day is that game?
It's a 6:07
p.m. Oh, that's a prime timer.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the first game. They get to the Sweet 16. Everything's prime.
Oh, that's true.
So
yeah.
No more day games.
Yeah, which is
except
good.
On the weekend.
So there you go. That's your top 6 and 6. And now you're going to hear the end appropriately timed. Right, Joe? All right, here we go.
That's it.
That's all today for the top 6 and 6.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week. Every week, we want to hear good news about kids. You know, it's interesting. In the wake of the travesty that was the school shootings in Florida, we've seen great news about kids now for over the past month. Kids really being gutsy, courageous, getting out there, putting themselves out on the line.
Yeah, we have.
So it just gives you a sense of, there's good in kids. Kids don't really get screwed up until they're older.
I agree with that.
I mean, you know, you can be screwed up by bad parents, but not all screwed up adults come from bad parents. But kids are generally well-meaning.
Yes.
Generally. And then as time goes on, whatever influences they have, maybe they turn down the wrong path. But this is why we do Kid of the Week, because the majority of kid news is good news. Rosie joins us now. Rosie is this week's Kid of the Week. Rosie Colucci. Good morning, Rosie.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm okay.
Okay, just okay? Why just okay?
Well, I'm a little sad. I had one of my friends pass away last night from childhood cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's terrible.
And I had brain surgery a week ago, so.
Wow. Well, Rosie, we haven't even started to tell your story yet, but I'm so sorry about your friend.
But I'm doing good, and on Thursday, I'm going to shave my head, and I'm going to raise, I'm going to try and raise $4,001 for St. Baldrick's, because we need more funding for childhood cancer research.
So St. Baldrick's, we just go to the St. Baldrick's website and we look for Rosie Colucci to help you?
Yeah.
Is that the best way to go?
Or Rockstar Rosie.
Rockstar Rosie.
Oh, that's
cool.
Well,
that's exactly who you are. All right, so let's maybe tell folks a little bit about you. And your principal at school and other students have talked about you and sent us some notes. So anyway, Rosie, you're in eighth grade, right?
Yep.
Plum Grove Junior High in Rolling Meadows?
Yes, it's a great school. Love it.
When did you find out that you had a brain tumor?
I found out when I was 3 years old.
So you are an unbelievable fighter. That goes back to 2007.
Yeah.
So you deal with the hospital stuff and all the stuff kids shouldn't have to worry about. As you said, you got more stuff ahead of you, but I mean, your story is rather amazing. What do you attribute to your success in the fight so far?
Say that again.
What do you give credit to the success in the fight? How come you've been so successful in fighting cancer?
Oh, all the support, the nurses and the doctors. It's just that Lurie Children's, which is where I go, it's a wonderful hospital, sure. And I really built a relationship with them over the past 10 years.
I bet you have. Now, your mom is Joanne?
Yep.
And she helped start, or did start, the Rosie's Toy Box deal?
Yes.
Right. Tell everybody what Rosie's Toy Box is.
Rosie's Toy Box is an organization that I started when I was, like, 4 years old. And I do... I do toy drives, and we get toys and stuffed animals, and we'll see like what the different departments need, and we'll get the toys and we'll hand them out in the hospital.
Other organizations that are involved include Cal's Angels, who I know a lot about because of the founders and my connection to that organization, and St. Baldrick's, as you said, and the Lurie Children's Hospital Foundation. You're an amazingly humble young lady. I mean, you're something else.
Thank you.
So what do you like to do for fun?
I love to swim.
Okay.
I love art. Art is my favorite. It's the best.
Are you a painter or a sketcher? Or what sort of artistic stuff do you do?
I like to do chalk.
Okay.
And I also love to fundraise.
I don't know anything about art. I mean, I can barely draw, you know, a stick figure. So when you say I like to do chalk, where do you do the chalk art?
Just like in my house.
But is it on sketch pads or? I'm sorry,
oh,
if these
I
are
do
so
it on
questions.
My sketch pads, yeah.
Okay, and what type of stuff have you done? Like Rosie originals? Could we can we see them online somewhere?
I can send you some pictures.
Hey, cool.
Please do. We'd love that. And before you go, don't hang up because Sandberg will get your information on how we can get those. Anyway, I'm proud of you, and you're an amazing kid, and I want to get Andrea in here.
Hey, Rosie, how can we help aside from make donations? Can we bring, do you accept toys, or is it strict? Is monetary the way to go? Is it better just to make a donation of money, and then you can buy everything?
Well, you can make a donation of toys,
okay,
but they have to be new toys, and you can drop them off at Pizza Bella.
Cool.
In Palatine.
Oh, perfect. I was just out there yesterday.
Pizza Bella in Palatine. I assume that's
in
where
Palatine.
I assume that's where you get your pizza.
Yeah.
That's your pizza?
Oh, yeah. And you've got to get pizza when you're there.
Awesome.
And actually, right now I'm doing a specific book drive, but you can bring any toy, but I'm doing a book drive. And if you... For Washington, D.C., and if you do bring a book to Pizza Bella, you get entered in a raffle for free pizza for a year.
Cool.
Well, you're an inspiration to everybody. Rosie Colucci, kicking cancer's butt. You're an amazing story. What are you going to do in the future? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Today, I'm winning an award. Actually,
of course you are. Of course you are.
It's the Prudential Spirit of Community Award.
Right.
So they're going to come to my school and present me with that today.
Well, I like this one day at a time take, too. Very good. Steve, my life's super busy. I got an award today after your award. So good for you, Rosie. Have any brothers?
And in the future, I'm just going to keep fundraising and keep it all up.
Yeah, good for you. You got brothers and sisters?
Yep. I got an older sister, Bella.
Okay.
She is 17.
Mm-hmm.
She's an awesome sister.
That's nice.
But she's sleeping right now.
Well, that's okay. And is that it, or brothers too?
No, just a dog.
Okay, so I got an older sister and a dog. You know, a dog, depending on the dog, is kind of like a brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They smell funny, but they're generally loyal. So, hey, it's great to have you on the show. Congratulations on your other award today. But you're the kid of the week today. We got some prizes to give you, which we'll tell you about off the air. So keep up the fight.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
See you, Rosie. Okay. Just getting an award today.
Okay, top that.
Yeah.
Top that.
God.
Our biggest concern is, I got to find time to vote today.
Right.
That kid. Look what that kid goes through every day.
And look what she does for other people.
That's the thing. Right? Taking time out to help everybody else.
She's getting an award today and raising $4,001. Is that tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, that's an ongoing thing. And then she's got to move on to other projects.
Right. But that sounds like that's what she wants to do for life is fundraise.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Amazing.
Awesome.
See, and she'll crush it. Mm-hmm. You know what she's doing right now? Very impressive. Rosie, eighth grader at Plum Grove Junior High. And thanks to Carrie Wilson for letting us know about Rosie. This week's Kid of the Week. Let us know about your Kid of the Week entries. Go to WGNradio.com, search Kid of the Week, and tell us about great kids you want us to know about, even if you think we know them or don't know them. It could be a story in the news, even. And send those to us. WGNradio.com, search Kid of the Week.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Make America Vote Again. Give away one of these coveted, very limited edition Make America Vote Again hats. I've got mine right here. I'll hold it up to the cameras. If you're streaming the video on WGNradio.com, I believe the button is watch, right?
Yeah, right. Just click on
listen
it.
Listen or watch?
Click on watch. And,
if I put this
it.
On backwards, well, I can't do it with my headphones.
Yeah,
on.
Put your. There you
hold
go.
Hold on a second. You can see the snappy Make America Vote Again logo in the rear camera as opposed to my big bald head.
I like it. And the WGN.
It's a good look for you, too.
Radio logo on the side.
Yeah, it's the old school catcher's look. We kept backwards. All right, so here are the texters saying, here's why I'm not going to vote in the primary today. 815, because I'm required to vote for a party, not individual candidates. 630, because I still have to vote either Republican or Democrat. I just can't vote for the person I want. 630, there may be good candidates in both parties, yet voters in Illinois must declare a political party in primaries. Ridiculous law. 630, there may be good candidates in both parties. And I don't want to make an uneducated vote because I haven't learned enough about the candidates. 847, Steve, I vote for people, not a party. 630, many won't vote today because you can't split the ticket and vote for the best regardless of party. Many people said the commercials as well.
Oh,
sick of the commercials.
They're awful.
708, does registering to vote put you in the jury pool? Some don't register because of this. 708, I'm torn about voting today. I'd like to be required to declare a party, and I'm able to vote only on issues without declaring a party. That would make me happier. 630, my husband and I left the Naperville Municipal Center at 6:10 this morning. We were the first and second to vote and nobody else in sight. So let's take a couple of these, I guess, in order. I completely agree that there ought to be an open primary in Illinois, but if we remember the reason for the primary to determine who will be running in the general election, let's say you had an open primary ballot, and in the governor's race, it came down to a choice for you between Rauner and Ives and the top two on the Democrat side, or top three, who would be Pritzker, Kennedy, and Biss. Mm-hmm. Well, you'd vote for one of the five, and one of the five would go forward. But if the outcome we're looking for is who will represent the two parties, that's the point of the primary today.
Yeah.
Then it's more of a popularity contest than the standard vote is. Again, I'm not defending this, because especially when it comes to, you know, ballot issues and different things, I just think there should be an open primary.
I
but just understand
agree.
That the reason the primary exists is not to elect the person. It's to determine who gets in the general election to be elected in November.
Exactly. Okay. And obviously in the general, you can vote for everybody. But that is what I hear most often. I knew that was going to be the majority of the text, too, is why people aren't voting, because they don't want. They think they have to declare. It's not really declaring as far as, well, once you declare, you're a Democrat or
you're
a Republican.
Yeah, no, that's not how it works.
No,
not how it works.
Not at all.
Listen, we can't say what is done with the data. Look what we found out yesterday.
Sure.
But you are not a declared Democrat
exactly.
or a declared Republican.
Right. If someone goes to, say, investigate your background or whatnot, they're not going to say, oh, well, you know, declared Democrat Steve Cochran or declared Republican Steve Cochran.
Yeah, that's not how,
that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. Now, in regards to the question about jury duty, I think there's only two or three or four or five states in the country that just use voter registration rolls to pick jurors. In most places, it's a combination of a state ID if it's issued, but in all cases of those other states, it's a combination of your driver's license and the fact that you're registered. So voter registration, I suppose, logically, would increase your chance of being, but just by way of odds, of being picked for jury duty. But frankly, jury duty is part of your duty as well. That's the word duty.
Exactly.
So it's not going to mean you're dramatically more likely to be picked. But if you literally don't want to vote because you don't want to someday be picked for a jury, this is probably not the discussion for you.
That's crazy as well. And I don't think they go off that as much as they used to, because years ago I was selected every 2 years. You know how you serve, or you go, you get your little check, and then you don't have to serve for two more, or they won't call you for two more years. It was like clockwork. Every 2 years I was getting the summons. Now I'm going to say this, it's going to happen. I haven't gotten a summons in maybe 10 years.
And I've served twice.
Yeah, I've served twice, too.
Yeah, and I was, it's a hassle, but I enjoyed the process.
Yeah, I think
it's an honor to serve.
Everybody should go through the process. I know everyone's probably saying, oh, no, but it is very interesting to see.
Yeah, if you've never been called for jury duty, the sitcom cliche of you'd rather have an appendicitis than go to jury duty, it ain't that big a deal, kids.
No.
You go to whatever your civic center, town hall, centralized location is. You wait for the opportunity to be screened for various trials, and you're eliminated or you're not.
Yeah, it is. It's a super interesting process.
708, as a Republican, no good candidates. Generally, I like Governor Rauner, but I don't like his pro-abortion stance. Were it not for local, and by the way, that's not entirely what he said, but anyway, were it not for local referendums, I likely would not have voted. For the first time in my life, I pulled a Democrat ballot to register my disgust with the party. Well, I guess that means they voted, so that's good.
Okay, I think a lot of people are doing that, switching
I think
over.
So too.
A ton of people I've talked to.
A15, how do you know who to vote for? Nobody talks about what they're going to do. Well, that's why hopefully you listen to this show, because we ask those questions. 847, Steve, I refuse to vote as long as Mike Madigan is in a position. Nobody will ever change the way Illinois runs until Madigan's removed. This is part and parcel to why you have to vote today. Because if you want an open primary, or if you want Mike Madigan removed, you have to get rid of the people who don't want an open primary or want to keep Mike Madigan in power. And the only way to do that is to vote. You got to be part of the process, because if you choose not to vote today, you're allowing everybody who does vote to make your decision on who will be eligible for, or who will be in the general election, and who you'll have to choose from.
Absolutely.
In November.
That text is the perfect reason to vote.
Yep. Yep, completely agree. We'll take a break. We'll come back. News coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. Governor Rauner will be on with us at 7:20. And Rick Pearson from your Chicago Tribune will join us at 7:40. Coach Q after 8. All coming up on 7:20 WGN.
Until tomorrow, just cast your vote to have a say. Get up and get out and fill out that ballot. Make America vote again today. Mama, vote today and tomorrow. Mama, come on, everyone. Mama, it's democracy, freedom, do it right here and now. It means everything.
7-Eleven, and that's John DeCoste, who was supposed to be in here today, but we had a scheduling screw-up that was my fault. He'll be in on Friday. Now, Make America Vote Again is the premise, and what we want you to do, MAVA, is go out and vote in the primary today. But the text question is, if you're not going to vote today, why? Why? I mean, you're a grown-up. If you choose not to vote in the primary, why? 630, I think it ought to be a combined ticket. Having to declare is wrong. Why not just be able to pick one? 630, other states have an open primary. You can vote for people from each party, not just one of the five candidates. But, you know, where you would have, in other words, you'd see both sides, but you would be able to register your vote for both parties. So
right.
You would help pick the candidates in the general from both. Again, that's the way it should be. If
again,
it's an open primary.
I think we are all on the same page with this. It stinks. We would love to be able to vote for everybody, but that is the absolute reason to vote. It's kind of like laying the foundation to eventually change this. Because
people aren't voting. And what do I always say? The people that benefit most from the rules are the people that make the rules.
Correct.
And they have no incentive to change the rules, so therefore you have to remove the people. It's too long for a t-shirt.
Right. Or a pen.
Right, you can imagine the size of that pen? 847, I understand a part of the primary is the reason why they do it this way. It's the same time as two people. I really would like to see Wynn and the other party I can't vote for because they have to choose a party. Okay, I get what you're saying. I have opinions on both sides, but I have to pick a ballot from one or the other.
Yes.
Narrows my ability my ability to exercise my part of this democracy.
I, again, agree.
815, open primaries have problems too. If my candidate's not being challenged in the primary, then I might ramp up votes for the candidate on the other side that has the least chance of beating my guy. Well, there's strategy on both sides. And as we talked about earlier, there's a lot of folks who may be Republicans but feel that Governor Rauner is going to thump Jeannie Ives today, according to the polls. And therefore, they're going to go and they're going to vote for a Democrat, either to try to hurt that Democrat's chances. Well, I guess that'd be the only scenario if you're a Republican. And by the way, Jeannie Ives is absolutely competitive today, depending on voter turnout, even if she is way down in the
absolutely.
Polls.
Absolutely. And two,
a.k.a. Donald Trump.
If you are frustrated with your choices for governor, attorney general, whatever it might be, there's so many congressional races. Up, Dan Lipinski and Marie Newman are in a very, very hotly contested race.
Every member of the House.
Yes.
Every member of the House is up.
Right. And if you don't like a particular law or whatnot, this is another fantastic example. A zillion judges. There's even judges advertising, which we've seen and heard for weeks.
Yeah, and the Illinois Bar Association recommendations are out.
Yes.
Google that up because I forgot the website. It's the Illinois Bar's recommendations. They don't say I endorse or don't endorse, but they recommend or don't recommend judges.
I actually screenshotted that on my phone, too, to take in today to the ballot box.
Which is great. And Rick Pearson will join us in a little while to talk more about this.
Take it to the voting booth, sorry, not the ballot box.
Well, it could be a box.
Yeah.
Governor Rauner in a few minutes before we get to what's coming up at 7:30. Why don't we give away the Make America Vote Again hat here? And again, if you're just turning your radio on, thanks for listening as always. But the text question of the day is, what is keeping you from voting today? You know what? I'll fold this into something else. We only got a few minutes here. But if you have a question for Governor Rauner, and it can't just be, why do you suck? Or why does everyone else suck? Because I love you. Something specific about making the state run better. I will try to get those in. Okay?
Excellent.
So there you go. 312-981-7200 if you have a question for Governor Rauner, who is joining us shortly.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 7:20. Here's a few more, and then we'll get to Governor Rauner standing by in just a second. I'm boycotting primaries until the legislators change the rules. Why is it we keep saying we don't like the way it's set up and nothing changes? Take a hint from the high school students' movements. Again, the way you can change the rules is by changing the people who make the rules.
I'm lawmakers too, Steve, at this point, with all these young voices, I mean, we've interviewed a bunch of students, especially since Parkland. They're all coming forward. They're all registering to vote. I talked to someone last week from Downers Grove South, a 17-and-a-half-year-old who's going to vote for the very first time. I would feel them breathing down my neck if I'm a lawmaker.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the Republican Party, because the Republican Party is running the risk of alienating an entire generation of kids.
Right.
In this one, 773, I'm going to vote for whoever Katy Perry wants me to vote for. I don't think that's the general way to make the decision.
I don't think so either.
Governor Rauner joins us. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Andrea. How are you?
Hey, I assume you're not concerned where Katy Perry stands on any of these issues?
I just heard your comment. You know what I'm concerned? What I'm concerned is that Pritzker's got the Democratic Governors Association coming in to try to hijack the Republican primary and promote my opponent, Jeannie Ives. We need everybody in the Chicagoland area, your listeners, to know that this election is going to be closer than anybody thought. This primary is going to be tough. And Evelyn Sanguinetti and I have to win, because we can be victorious. We're the only ones who can be victorious against Pritzker and Madigan in November. We have got to get to November so we can roll back the taxes, get more good paying jobs, and get term limits on the ballot. So we've got to win today. We need all your listeners to get to the polls and support Rauner and Sanguinetti.
Governor, early voting numbers were huge in Chicago this year. I think 109,000 voters cast early ballots. It's triple what it was in 2014. So as governor, that has to make you feel good that people are voting. But we're getting text after text today from people saying, I wish we didn't have to declare in Illinois. Not declare, but either select a ballot, Republican or Democrat. What can eventually be done to change that, where we just become one big giant...
An open primary.
Open primary.
Well, certainly that wouldn't be hard to change, but through legislation, I just seriously doubt whether Speaker Madigan would be interested in that. But, you know, there's a lot of changes we need in the state. The biggest changes we need are to reduce our tax burden, grow more jobs, and most importantly, change the culture of corruption by getting term limits on the ballot. That's why I hope that all the candidates will be held accountable this election cycle to promise to put term limits on the ballot. Then we can really change the culture of government in Illinois.
Steve from Hoffman Estates has a question a lot of people have. Regardless of the blame, and, you know, I've been clear where I stand on this, but regardless of the blame of what's happened, what are you going to do differently? Why do you deserve it? This is the Illinois job interview. Why do you deserve four more years based on what happened in the first four?
Well, you look at the wonderful transformation we've been able to achieve on things we could get done ourselves. We've gotten revolutionary new contracts with 18 of the government unions, saving hundreds of millions of dollars. We've transformed Medicaid, saving over $500 million now and climbing. We've transformed the way criminal justice is delivered in the state of Illinois, transformed education, where we can drive the results. It's been phenomenal for the state. But Madigan has blocked term limits through the courts. He's blocked fair maps through the courts. He's refused to compromise on pension reform or workers' comp reform. So that's why in the long run, what we need is to get reform-minded legislators who are not loyal to Mike Madigan. They're loyal to the people in their districts. Get them elected. And we can do that by asking them right now as they're campaigning for office, will you promise to sign a pledge? Will you promise us as the voters of Illinois to put term limits on the ballot, vote for term limits? And will you also promise vote for anyone, even if you're a Democrat, vote for another Democrat to be speaker? There's no reason that these legislators have to vote every year for Mike Madigan to stay speaker. That's wrong. It's led to the corruption that we've got in the state.
And by the way, you've mentioned Pritzker a few times. There's no guarantee that Mr. Pritzker's going to win today, especially based on the NBC5 poll over the weekend. That race is considerably closer, and Mr. Kennedy's in his rearview mirror. So let me ask you about Madigan. He is very clear on where he stands on things and doesn't seem to agree with you on much, if not anything. How are you going to change that? I don't believe Mr. Madigan's going to leave, and I don't believe his attitude's going to change anytime soon. So how do you work with him or around him to get anything done that you need to get done?
Well, it's working around him, as Steve, is what you said. So we're going to win two historic lawsuits in the federal court. The first one I started with AFSCME, the biggest government union. I sued them my first 3 weeks in office. My case is now at the U.S. Supreme Court. And when we win that case this spring through the U.S. Supreme Court, there will be no more forced union dues collection in state government, local government, or school districts. We will transform Illinois, and Madigan can't do anything to stop it. He's part of the corruption of getting campaign cash from government unions and then spinning around and giving them unaffordable, unfair deals in that conflict of interest. We are going to break that unfair system right through the courts, number one. Number two, we're also going to win through the courts in a suit that I did not start, but that is very powerful. I laid the foundation for to give local governments the ability to control their own regulations so that they can compete with Indiana, Wisconsin, Tennessee, and Texas for manufacturing jobs. When we get local control of regulations so that Springfield and Madigan don't mandate the regulations, we can grow a lot of good manufacturing jobs across the state of Illinois. And then, again, Madigan can't stop that. Those will be two home run changes we'll get done in the second term.
224 texter, I'll summarize here. Governor Rauner, if your opponents have presented any legitimate criticism of you as a governor in public or behind closed doors, what is your plan to improve in that area? And I guess I'd ask you that. What's one thing you regret of the first 4 years that you could have done better?
Well, you know, we're always striving to do better and learn. We clearly need to have more collaboration at every level in the legislature. There's a rule of fear that Madigan has put in place over the legislature. He took out Ken Duncan, who broke with him. He took out Scott Drury, who refused to vote for him to be speaker. Madigan's rule of fear, of control over the General Assembly, is what we've got to break. And all we have to do is look at what Democrats have done, good, honest Democrats who I'd be happy to work with. Look what they've done in California. California Democrats got term limits done. In Rhode Island, Democrats got pension reform done. In Massachusetts, Democrats got workers' comp reform done and took health care out of collective bargaining in government to bring down costs. Good, honest Democrats I can work with and will negotiate and compromise with. Madigan wants no compromise because he becomes so rich from the current system. We need legislators who will be willing to stand up with him. And that takes a number. Doing it one or two at a time, like we've been trying, doesn't work because he can take them out like he did to Drury and Duncan. But we need a group of them to come together and stand up against Madigan, and then we'll get really positive change for the state.
Is there any chance that you two, and I'm not being flip at all when I say this, is there any chance that you two could work out some workable arrangement where over the course of the next 4 years, there's give and take to get things done?
Boy, I will never give up on trying that. I will never give up. But I've known Madigan for 9 years, and so far in those 9 years, I've never seen him truly ever change. I mean, he's been there since 1971, and he told me, you know, it's power and money for him. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
What do you mean he told you? What did he say?
He said, when I asked him what he wants for a better future for the people of Illinois, he said, that's not what he's focused on. That's not what he cares about. It's money and power for him.
Well, that's a pretty strong statement. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing that is the greatest concern for the people in this state.
Exactly right. That's why, in the end, Steve, it's not about really working with Madigan. You don't work with him. He gets his own way. And the way to force him to change is through his caucus. It's through members of the General Assembly in the election. And that's why your listeners right now, you and I are talking to listeners who are going to vote. Many of them will vote for Democratic candidates for the House of Representatives. They've got to ask those candidates, are you really with me as a citizen, as a homeowner and a taxpayer, or are you with Mike Madigan? Answer that question. Will you put term limits on the ballot, yes or no? Will you vote for some other honest Democrat to be Speaker if the Democrats keep majority, yes or no? And if those candidates won't say, yes, I'll put term limits on the ballot, they shouldn't get the vote of your listeners.
Yeah, and by the way, we asked listeners to ask their reps, state reps, what they will do about voting or not voting for Mr. Madigan as Speaker, and we got a lot of responses, and folks said they got no response. That's your electorate not working for you. I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but Madigan's statement on money and power is, I think I've not heard that publicly before. Is that something he has ever said publicly, or is that something he told you privately?
Privately, and to just a meal. Just he and I had. He and I have had a lot of meals together. We've played golf. In the end, what we need to do is stand up to him. I'm the one person who can beat him. I've proven it 4 years ago. We've made progress, and I need your listeners' help. This primary is going to be closer than we all thought. I need your listeners to help Evelyn Sanguinetti and me get elected. We've got to win today. Come out and vote for Rauner and Sanguinetti. This primary will determine our ability to win in November. And I need your listeners' support. Come and vote for us in the Republican primary, Rauner and Sanguinetti, right? We can beat the system in November.
Two final questions, Andrea.
Governor, very briefly, we haven't talked to you in a few weeks. I'm just kind of curious, how come you vetoed the gun store licensing bill a day before the national school walkout and a week before the primary?
Well, the timing is strictly a function of us doing our homework. We've called a lot of experts around the country about the bill. We did a tremendous amount of work, and that bill was not going to increase public safety really at all, and it was going to increase the onerous regulatory burden and costs on a lot of our small businesses in the state of Illinois. It was more a headline grabber than a real result. And what we need in Illinois is not to do headlines. We need real change. And I'm bringing together a task force, bipartisan, just like we did for education reform, and we will get real regulations that will actually improve public safety. We will really improve school safety. We will really help our police officers and support them better. And we will really help change mental health delivery and treatment in the state of Illinois so we can increase safety. We'll deliver those results in the coming weeks.
Yeah, by the way, the timeline is important because as soon as you say task force, everybody goes, oh, great, another Illinois task force. There's not a lot of faith in that. So coming weeks, meaning before summer?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We could get this done on a very prompt deadline. We shouldn't be taking 6-9 months for this. This can be done in weeks, not many months.
Well, and what I'd love to see is a statement from you on what you didn't like about the bill specifically at some point. Final question. What is one specific thing you'll do to reduce my, this is from the 815, one specific thing you'll do to reduce my property taxes so I don't need to leave the state like so many of my friends have?
Exactly. Best question you could ask. Get the mandates off of local schools and local governments. I believe in local control. Get the mandates from Springfield off of our municipalities and our school districts. Free them up to run their communities as the voters and residents there themselves want to do it. On competitive bidding and contracting and school teaching and school curriculum. Free them up and we can bring down our property taxes.
Good luck today, Governor.
Thanks, guys. Get out and vote, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Governor.
Governor Bruce Rauner, who would like 4 more years.
Yes.
Which may mean, he needs a full checkup from the neck up based on the last 4. But, you know, he wants 4 more years, yes. And he also wants you to vote. That's what we're pushing today, kids. Please get out there and vote. We need a break before we get to the headlines. We'll do that now on 720 WGN.
I've known Madigan for 9 years, and so far in those 9 years, I've never seen him truly ever change. I mean, he's been there since 1971, and he told me, you know, it's power and money for him. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well done, Joe. 744. Well, there's your headline that jumps out of Governor Rauner's interview a few moments ago that Speaker Madigan told the governor it's about power and money. Rick Pearson joins us, hardest working, best writer in politics for your Chicago Tribune.
Good morning.
How about that line?
Yep. He's used it before, actually the speaker has denied it. I'm beginning to think, though, that with the governor's fixation on Mike Madigan, we should tax the phrase Mike Madigan, and maybe that would actually help us out of our fiscal
work. Wait, who owns the phrase Mike Madigan? Is there like a trademark thing?
Yeah, I think we should run out and get one.
All right, now back this up. I have literally never heard him say that before he said it this morning. So where has he said it?
He's said it repeatedly that he's been one of his first meetings when he was with governor or going to become governor, and that he sat down with Madigan at the Union League Club. And that this was part of their conversation, and that he doesn't care about governance. He alleges Madigan said that the speaker doesn't care about governance, that it's about money and power.
And Madigan's denial was once, twice, repeated?
Well, he has repeatedly denied that conversation took place.
Well, how have I missed this? I feel like I pay attention to this stuff. How have I missed this?
I'm sorry, Steve. I'm sorry.
Quick poll. Has anyone else on the show heard this before?
The specific phrase, yeah. money and power.
Mike Madigan's only said money and power?
I think we could all assume that, but for him to outright say, hey,
you've never
all
heard
I'm
him say that.
I've never heard him say all of money.
I'm not
power.
Doubting you, Rick. I'm wondering why the hell I haven't heard it.
Hey, you're a busy guy. You've got
yeah, but mostly with this crap. All right, stand by. More with Rick Pearson in just a second, and I'm going to see if he has any sense of turnout today as well. I always want to ask him about the key races, the governors included.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Talking to Rick Pearson from your Chicago Tribune, host of the Sunday Spin. You know who your guests are going to be next weekend?
I have Bob Sector from the Better Government Association and Chris Mooney from the U of I, and we're going to do basically an entire show of a roundtable going through all of the primary election results.
And that's Sunday morning at 7. Rick Pearson gives you the best political listening, teeing up your TV watching for you political junkies as well. Turnout, what are we hearing? Anything yet?
Well, I mean, we know that the number of early votes cast in the city and in suburban Cook County is very high. But the question is that because more people are accepting of early voting as a process, or does that really reflect an enthusiasm drive? I mean, certainly, you know, the more progressive liberal groups that have been protesting Donald Trump's presidency are looking at Election Day as kind of a chance to do more than just protest, but have a say. So that's one of the questions. On the Republican side, that's going to be an interesting kind of dynamic there because, you know, is there an enthusiasm gap there? Certainly with the primary challenge by Jeannie Ives to Governor Rauner, she's trying to mobilize conservatives. That we tend to see probably downstate more than in the suburban area, but the suburban area, moderate suburban women, they're a key voting block in Republican primaries. I'll be very curious to see how suburban turnout goes.
Well, Governor Rauner was very, very interested in trying to get people to go out and vote because the worst case scenario for him is nothing but the far right shows up, because then you got yourself a race regardless of what the polls show now, which is what you're referencing. Meanwhile, on the Democrat side, the NBC 5 poll over the weekend showed Kennedy getting mighty close. Have you seen anything or heard anything similar to those numbers?
You know, that's going to be the real question. And I think, you know, there has been a late surge kind of for Kennedy. Certainly he's counting on support, a big deal of support from the African-American community. Again, a very key voting demographic in Democratic primaries, kind of playing the role of being a legacy candidate to his historic family lineage. Pritzker is going to be the one to watch, mainly just because of the fact of having put, you know, nearly $70 million worth of his own wealth into the campaign. He doesn't want to see any kind of a, you know, close kind of contest. But it's conceivable that with the top three candidates, with this, with Kennedy, with Pritzker, we see a three-way split, largely in the Chicago area. And even though downstate makes up only maybe about 23% of the Democratic vote, Rod Blagojevich proved when he won, you had Paul Vallis and Roland Burris split the Chicago vote, but it was a downstate vote that elected Rod Blagojevich. Pritzker does have the money, has more of an organization, and that's where downstate could play a real deciding factor here.
So large turnout on the Democrat side benefits Pritzker?
I don't know, because we don't know where that vote is coming from. I mean, if it's more of the progressives, that could be something that helps Daniel Biss.
That's the thing about Biss being in the race. It does create the potential for that three-way split you're talking about. What about Attorney General?
Attorney General, you've got eight candidates on the Democratic side, two on the Republican side. A race that largely people have been undecided about on the Democratic side. And obviously, when you have former Governor Pat Quinn in the race, there's the name recognition factor. The question is there also kind of a Quinn fatigue, since the former governor has run for just about every statewide office in the past and has been governor? Do voters say, okay, you were governor, you had your shot, now it's time to move the party forward?
What about other races you're interested in that you're watching?
Well, obviously, here in Chicago and Cook County, the Cook County Assessor's race, Joe Berrios, it's been a rough campaign season for him with you know, the Tribune stories about questioning the fairness of his assessment methods. A lot.
Great reporting, by the way, brings the truth out, and that's exactly what we saw there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here you have the fact that not only is he assessor, but Berrios is also Cook County Democratic chairman. But this is also a year where, you know, there's questions about being the establishment and being anti-establishment. And with Berrios, we've seen a number of aldermen, a number of other Democratic leaders step away from him. They don't have him on their palm card. Fritz Kagi, the main challenger here. That's going to be a very, very interesting race to watch.
And the House, or the House and Senate in the state, any of those three?
Well, I also, obviously, in the southwest side and the southwest suburbs, 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary, 7th-term Democratic Congressman Dan Lipinski. He's facing an insurgent progressive challenge from Marie Newman. There's been a lot of campaign activity out in that area. I mean, there's been a Lipinski in that seat for decades, with including his father, Dan Lipinski's dad. The question is, has the district changed? It's kind of a blue dog. In the past, it's been kind of a blue dog conservative Democratic district, but have demographics and demographic changes taken over, and has that become a more liberal district? And how does Lipinski fare in that?
Where will you and your notebook be tonight?
I will be at the historic Tribune Tower, my last election night in Tribune Tower, and I'll be kind of overseeing the Democratic race for governor, but we'll have all the coverage online of all the races at chicagotribune.com.
Yeah, and the Tribune's done, as usual, and as expected, a very nice job in setting everybody up for this. I would encourage everybody to, if you have not yet done your research on voting, you can go to the Tribune's website. And where should they go on the Tribune website to get the backgrounds they need?
Well, you can go right to the homepage. We have all kinds of links to our election coverage, candidate coverage. Certainly, there's the Tribune editorial endorsements in the editorial section of the website. But you can find just about every answer to about any question you have about this election.
It's our friend Rick Pearson, Sunday Spin, 7 a.m. Sunday. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
There you go. And at Rap30 on Twitter. Back with the news at 8 next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Kiss me
Dean Richards, good morning, my friend.
What's happening?
I don't know. What's happening with you? Is your microphone okay?
Why, yes, it is.
Oh, there you are. Okay. I thought we were going to do that funny thing where we both hold our noses while we talk.
We could do that. We haven't done that in a while. It's voting day.
Today is voting day. And wherever you are, whoever you are, if you're of age, please vote in the primary. Why would you let others make your decision for you?
Right.
So, and if you don't vote, don't bitch. We can get that on a pen.
And if you're not of age, vote. If you're dead, we have a lot of dead people listening.
A lot of Chicago tradition in what you're talking about.
Vote.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick up most of my dead relatives today after the show, take them to the polling place.
And I want you to know, I am voting for you for water commissioner.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I've often thought about running for that because I have no idea what that is, and I think I'd be great at it.
Well, you've told me before the times you feel like you're retaining water and you feel a little bloaty.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, so I thought this might be a good spot for you.
Okay. Turns out I am highly qualified for that.
We got a busy show business day. Harvey Weinstein news, Steven Seagal news, Steven Spielberg news. Which is the award-winning director, Seagal or Spielberg?
I get them mixed up. Which one has the ponytail?
Sex in the City news, Lollapalooza news, Dean's got a honey of a deal, and something about Burt Reynolds.
Is the honey of a deal a real estate, Doug?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a good one. I've got a good listing.
Yes,
today.
Absolutely. Did you poll your fellow morning news people about whether or not they're going to vote today?
I did not. We have not discussed the election today.
I think you should bring it up awkwardly on the air, like right in the middle of a segment. So I'm going to go vote. What about you three?
I'm not sure if they actually live in the state of Illinois.
Oh, is that right?
Some of them may not even be American citizens.
They're one of those alien types, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Some people asked about whether or not they could write in on the primary ballot today. Can you write in?
You can, but you have to register as a write-in with the county.
Is that too late?
Yes.
Or do you do that when you walk up to
it's
the
too late
election
now.
Judges?
The ballot itself
so,
doesn't have a write-in spot.
Correct.
So you have to have a special write-in permission slip?
Yes. You have to register as a write-in with the county.
Dear and election.
And as Dean pointed out, it's a little too late for that.
But
right
register
now.
As a write-in as a candidate?
Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense because if you're going to write me in, it'd be a surprise.
Can I cite my source?
Yeah.
Rick Pearson. And I'm going with him.
What does he know?
Yeah.
Greatest political writer in the country.
Yeah, hardest working. No question. All right, so why don't we jump in first with the bad news, and we'll come back with the good news and your honey of a deal.
Weinstein?
Yeah.
Well, first, you know, this whole sexual allegation tsunami for him, you know, it took him down from being one of the most powerful people in Hollywood to nothing.
Do we know where he is, by the way?
The last I heard, he was at some sort of retreat, rehabby kind of place, I think in Colorado. Somebody had just caught him on some video. And, you know, they were dressing him down, verbally accosting him, mm-hmm. and got slapped in the face by, I can't remember if it was Weinstein or his attorney. Somebody slapped the guy who was, you know, had just pulled his phone out and was shooting video, but giving him a good tongue lashing, if you'll excuse the expression.
Right.
So I think that's where he is right now. But anyway, so first Weinstein went down. Now the Weinstein Company has gone down. Yesterday they filed for bankruptcy protection, about to be taken over by a private equity firm. There'll be a public auction. Steve, if you want, you know, like all of us, we
would this be another honey
in.
Of a deal?
Well, yeah, I guess so. It's not only a real estate deal, I think, but we would own a major television and movie company that nobody wants to deal with.
Right.
Sounds like right down our alley.
Yeah, it's not like getting a meeting is important in Hollywood.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry, who are you with? The Weinstein Company? Lose the number.
Yeah, we would have to change it to Steve's Movie Company or something.
That's probably right.
Something like that.
The interesting part of the story to me is that non-disclosure agreement piece.
Yeah, part of the bankruptcy agreement is that they had to release anyone who had signed a non-disclosure agreement, you know, stating that they would not talk about anything that had happened with them, any sort of sexual misconduct by Harvey Weinstein. That those non-disclosure agreements now can be torn up, and they can talk about whatever they want to talk about. So there could be a whole nother avalanche of accusations coming out against Weinstein, for which he has denied all claims, by the way. He has denied anything non-consensual.
Is the Steven Seagal story related?
It's somewhat related in that two people have come forward and said that they were abused by him. One when she was 17 years old and working as an extra on one of his movies. The other went to an audition and claims that she was groped when she was 18 years old.
Classy.
So Seagal's attorney says that he adamantly denies all those allegations, but
he couldn't spell adamantly.
It is not the first allegation to come out against Steven Seagal.
Well, God bless those victims. I certainly hope they're okay, but I have to say I was abused if I've watched a couple of his movies. There was some movie where he was a Navy cook that I found mildly entertaining, though ridiculous. But other than that, anything Steven Seagal's done, including palling up for Vladimir Putin, enough already.
How has he not won an Academy Award?
Exactly.
How does that fish movie win Best Movie of the Year and Seagal gets nothing?
It just doesn't seem right. Are we sure the fish in that movie wasn't Seagal? You know, he's getting older.
That's possible.
We'll come back with the rest of it, and that's the stuff we haven't talked about yet.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
821, had another great afternoon with the world's greatest grandchild, my first and only, Abigail Grace. She was in here yesterday.
She had
2 years and 3 months old.
I heard she had a mean mac and cheese yesterday that you got her for lunch.
Yeah, yeah, you can check out her Yelp review. But we spent the afternoon together, and I was pleased. Her dad, my son, Ross, came home from work, and I was pleased that I had actually taught her to respond to a question this way. She likes to rub the short hairs on top of my head and go, "Pops has no hair." I'm Pops, by the way, in this scenario.
When you say rub the hair, that's kind of being generous, but that's super cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Dean, what she does is after she rubs the hairs on my head and says, "Pops has no hair," I said, "Who took Pops' hair?" I got her to say, "Daddy took it."
Oh.
So my son is now being blamed for me being bald.
Nice.
Huh?
Nice.
That's fun with grandparents.
You can't start that too early with the little ones.
All right, give me the Steven Spielberg news.
Spielberg announced that there's going to be an Indiana Jones 5. And that Harrison Ford will be in it.
God, he's almost 80.
Yeah, you're right. He's just about to turn 80 years old. It's going to be a little more difficult running away from the giant rolling ball.
Is he going to get one of those Walmart scooters or something?
That's what they're going to have to do in this movie. They're going to start filming next year, 2019. Movie's going to be out in 2020.
Well, he's in great shape.
He is. So just keep him out of airplanes, and we should be okay.
You know, after Donald Trump's administration goes away, and it will, I just am so glad no other celebrities should think this is an opening for them to jump into politics. Whoa! Hey, wait a minute.
Steve, that is so Miranda of you to say that.
What happened?
That is so Miranda, because I've been waiting for about 15 years to say that to you.
Yeah, and you laid it out there nicely.
Cynthia Nixon, who was on Sex and the City, played Miranda, has announced that she is going to run for governor of the state of New York. Sorry, Illinoisans. We missed out. She doesn't live here.
And she's running because of her obvious qualifications?
Well, she has actually been a very involved activist in education issues and women's issues and LGBT issues. So she has been a community activist, I guess you might say.
Well, that would make her as qualified as the last two presidents.
Some people have said that that's enough. She issued a two-minute video on Twitter yesterday that went in 20 minutes nationally, went viral. So people are interested in this. If she wins, she'll be the first woman to hold that office. She'll be the first openly gay woman to hold that office. She will face Governor Andrew Cuomo there in their Democratic primary in September.
If she wins, will she be able to do anything about the feud between Sarah Jessica Parker and the super slutty one who's
I
can't think of?
I would hope, yeah, I would hope that would be her number one priority, and make the Cosmopolitan the state drink of New York, New York State.
What's her name again?
Cynthia Nixon.
No, the super slutty one.
Kim Cattrall.
Oh, yeah, Kim Cattrall.
That was her character.
That's what I mean.
Samantha.
So, as far as we know.
I got to put Kim. I got to make sure Samantha. I remember Kim Cattrall. Calling her the super slutty one is not a good way.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Lollapalooza tickets on sale when?
10 o'clock this morning.
What?
4-day passes will go on sale today.
For what, $100,000? How much are they now?
$335 plus taxes and fees each. They haven't even announced who's going to be playing there yet. They haven't announced a lineup yet, but they'll sell out the 4-day passes.
Tyler, the Creator, we believe, will be there. Tyler Perry will be there as well.
Tyler Perry presents Tyler, the Creator.
Yes.
Again, looking at the rumored headliners this year, I know one. Jack White.
Jack White is rumored. Cardi B is, you know Cardi B.
Oh, yeah.
You know Cardi B.
Yeah, I know Cardi B.
Khalid, I know, was over at stayed at Steve's house last weekend.
Yeah.
And the Texas hip-hop group Brockhamptons.
Yep, sure, of course.
I have no idea. No idea at all.
But my favorite part of Lala is when we play
a band or a Lollapalooza band. Yes. Yes, band I was in, not a band or a Lollapalooza band.
Start calling in your sick days now. Lollapalooza will be August 2nd through 5th. It's my favorite 4 days of the year.
Right. Oh, you love it.
Just in case I'm not feeling old enough, being down there and covering it, it's great.
Yeah, and by the way, I've had several youngsters who were surprised to learn that I was aware of their deal where they go to Grant Park a week early, bury a bottle of booze in Grant Park, and that way when they come in through security, they can have it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're old. How'd you know about that?
We invented that.
Burt Reynolds interview. When did you talk to him?
Okay, no, I didn't talk to him. He was on Conan O'Brien last night. You know, he's 82 years old.
Yeah,
Still feisty, and Conan asked him about his famous 1972 centerfold that he did in Cosmopolitan magazine, where he, like Steve, posed naked on a bearskin rug.
Yep.
Steve did it in Popular Mechanics.
I did. And I got burned by the Polaroid flash cube because it was a little too close to me. Fell off the camera. It's very hot.
Mom, what's a flash cube? So he revealed a little secret about the photo shoot that day.
You were the first massive male star to pose nude. You did it in Cosmopolitan magazine. It blew people's minds.
I was so drunk.
You're drunk in that.
Oh, plaster. And I started drinking very early in the morning. And I went out there, and they said, now, the first scene, you know, you'll be doing so-and-so and such-and-such. And I said, wait a minute. You said I was just going to be lying on the couch. And I threw the robe off, and I went...
Yeah.
And I'm sad to say I have very small hands.
He is still funny.
That's funny.
He is still hilarious. What am
I? What's the state of his health? Not great?
He walks with a cane now.
Well, probably age appropriate, I guess.
Well, age appropriate. He's 82, but it's mostly because he did a lot of his own stunts in movies and is now suffering the physical disabilities, you know, from doing that.
You know, the thing is, I think you should do what we do in radio, and that's always have interns do our stunts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the right way to go.
Do anything.
And hold on a second. Do I understand this right? Do you have a real estate deal for us this morning?
Steve, I have a honey of a deal for you today.
Oh, Dougie. All right.
As you know, Eva Longoria... Mm-hmm. is currently pregnant, and you know she's trying getting things ready for the new baby, and I guess downsizing a little bit. She currently lives in a fabulous Hollywood Hills mansion, 8,603 square feet.
Boy, she's tiny.
You don't need that many square
Not
feet.
Not when you're that tiny.
Not when you're tiny. Even if you're pregnant, you don't need that much space.
No.
So she, I think, you know, probably is making some sense and going to move someplace a little bit smaller. This is a 6-bedroom, 9-bathroom home, Steve. 9-bathroom.
You know, I just did some quick math here. This is just a rough estimate. But I believe in an 8,600 square foot home, you could fit 17,200 Eva Longorias.
Yeah.
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 That's about right.
I haven't done the math on it, but I trust you with that.
Yeah.
This is a contemporary Mediterranean home. It's got two fireplaces, a wraparound balcony, medium brown hardwoods. It's got a well-equipped, super-sized center island.
Sounds delightful.
And I've got it all in my Dean Richards real estate listing sheet. You can take a look at that and plus see a very handsome picture of me in my Century 21 Blazer. Mm. Steve, she bought this home for $3.6 million. She is letting it go. This is a steal at $3.7 million.
I, you know, it is. I feel bad about this. I'm cash poor again. I got $26. Normally, I carry more cash than this.
The rest of the cast, I'm sure, can make up the difference here.
I think so. You know what? I'm gonna quick pay again. I got $50 on this one because like the hardwood floors and the thought of Dean in the blazer in the picture.
Nice.
Yeah.
$50.
It's me standing by the for sale sign, smiling.
Love that.
Very welcoming picture.
I had $43 last time. I've only got $42, but I also have a Hooters card.
Oh. That's it.
Probably hold the Hooters card for now, but that gets us up to 115 or so.
I'm writing up the deal right now.
Yes.
As we speak, I'm writing up their proposal.
And she's pregnant. She doesn't need the hassle of selling the house. This is good news for her.
Yeah. No, this is, I think this is good. And, you know, she'd probably just be happy to get rid of this dump.
All right. So there you go. We are very pleased to know we are the leaders in the clubhouse. Very exciting.
It also has a jetted garden tub. Did I mention that?
Yeah, what doesn't?
A glass enclosed steam shower.
Mm-hmm. It's all available now. Eva Longoria's 14 million square foot home. Thank you, Dean. Let us know if we get the purchase done today.
I have to go vote and get my dead relatives there, but then I'm going to submit your...
Our proposal.
Your bid, yeah, your proposal.
Perfect. Perfect. Awesome. Yeah. All right, there you go. That's Dean. We're back with the headlines next. Three people apparently injured in the school shooting is the headline we're hearing.
Yes.
News next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Coach Kin Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. We found the Hooters card we used to pass around for the birthday. It's in Dave's wallet.
I don't know. Maybe it was my birthday was the last one. Oh, no, yours was like last week.
Listen, it's America's wing joint. It's Hooters. So you're just a patriotic guy.
Yes, I am.
That's it. That's what we're talking about.
Coach
Joel Quenneville joins us. So, Coach, I'm at the game the other night. I look to my left, and there's Rod Laver.
They put him up on a screen there, and everybody in the crowd went got excited. And I'm sitting there thinking, Rod Laver, what? And somebody said that was his first hockey game.
I think that's right.
That's quite a feat, knowing that It would have been nice to get the home team having a win when he was here, but it was a he's accomplished quite a lot for the sport of tennis. He's the all-time great, and so nice to see him at the United Center for sure.
Yeah, and you think about the equipment those guys played with. It's like golf. And I suppose to some extent it's the difference between the composite sticks your guys have and the old wood stuff you guys used to play with. Different times, different equipment, but Laver playing with a piece of wood that wood racket with a string. You're a tennis guy. I mean, he was unbelievable.
Well, the technology's changed for hockey and for all sports for that. And I think that, they had the small face and their rackets and, they had wood and they had a different, whatever string they used. But now they got the bigger faces and different kind of rackets with different composites, right, like hockey sticks. The guys are shooting the puck way harder now and probably half the weight and when you're handling it as well. So it's a the evolution of how sticks have changed is pretty amazing and very specialized in what the guys are looking at, what their needs are, whether it's shooting or passing and receiving. Everybody has a little art to how they want their sticks.
The cat gut they used to use in the tennis rackets back, Dave, when you and I were kids, mm-hmm. when Coach Q was a kid, they used actual kitties. On the rackets. They didn't?
No.
Is that incorrect?
They did
not. Oh, I'm sorry. That's incorrect.
Speaking of cats.
Yes.
You
were telling me about his good luck video.
Watch this transition. Well, I was going to get to that, but Alex DeBrincat, night, Sun had the game. You were at, Steve.
Yeah, hat trick.
And yesterday, the Blackhawks alumni named him the Blackhawks Player of the Year.
Oh, that's great.
At the age of 20. Joel, you've talked about him a lot. You've told us about his upside. What does he need to do now, looking towards next year, to kind of take the next step?
Well, I think one thing when you're a first-year player, you want to be consistent. And I thought he was consistent away from the puck. I think that's one of his strengths, his reads on the game. And I think he's only going to get better because he's going to know the league. He's going to get stronger, and he's going to get quicker. I like his thought process when he shoots the puck. He's got a real kind of an elusive shot for goalies. He's got a real nice release. Just look to get a little bit faster, a little bit quicker. But the nice thing is he's got a real good mind for the game, and I think that's sets him up. And I think everybody talks about that second year, everybody's going to be more aware of you in the league, and that's always a challenge for sophomore guys. And he's we really like what he brings to our team, and it seems like his line's always making a contribution to not just our offensive game, but doing the right things.
Some great young players in the NHL. Connor McDavid and the class of Connor McDavid, I suppose. Is he there with those guys? Would you consider him one of the best young guys in the game?
Connor McDavid's a different level. I think that top scorers in the game, I think he's got something to prove, but I think he's got an opportunity to be a top scorer in the game on a consistent basis. Whether he's at the very top of the league, I think he'll always be a regular producer. He produced at an amazing rate in junior and got off to a real good start here. Let's see how he finishes out the season, but you got to say three hat tricks. Tony Granato's the only other guy that in his rookie year, American-born player, that had three hat tricks. So it's a nice feat in that regard as well.
A hat trick is fun, but it's changed when we were growing up, because the seats used to be right on top of the ice. And there used to be tons of hats that would come flying out of the stands. Now it's 6, 7, 8, 9 hats. So is that because of the configuration of the seating or the cost of the hats, Coach?
Every game's different. Some nights could be hat night.
You're hoping for a hat trick, I suppose.
Our other producer, Joe, here in the studio, he said that he was at a hat trick, but it was the year that we won the last Stanley Cup, and he had worn the same Seabrook jersey and hat to every game, and they kept winning, so he couldn't throw his hat on the ice because that was his good luck outfit for
right.
the team. So.
Right, but that is an awkward moment. It's like the ball at Wrigley that everybody's screaming, throw back, and you don't want to throw the ball back. You don't want to be the only guy in your section on a hat trick not throwing his hat. These are the things the fans are concerned about, Coach. You understand. Loyola of Chicago, you did a good luck video for these guys. Do you need to do another one, or you like the role?
Keep going. Nice start. Pretty amazing. There have been some upsets in the tournament, and wish them nothing but the best going forward here. So let's keep going, Ramblers.
You have a bracket? Yeah. Did you do a bracket?
Did I do a bracket? Yes. I don't even know how I'm doing. I had them winning the first game, and then I don't know if I had them on the second game. But I don't even know how I'm doing. But I know I have no chance when I fill that out.
Well. Yeah, well, I'm guessing if you were leading or winning, they would have told you by now.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
speaking,
I would hope so.
Speaking of tournaments, the team you're playing tonight, Colorado, right now holding the first wild card spot in the Western Conference. A year ago, Colorado had 48 points, fewest in the National Hockey League in I believe 17 years, and 21 points behind the next team in the standings in terms of points, 21 points back. Does that give you encouragement when you look at, I think there's a half dozen teams that were not in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year, and that's including Las Vegas, which didn't exist, Vegas rather, that are right now in playoff position? Do you think it's a situation now where teams kind of come and go as far as the playoffs, and maybe it's a little easier to make that jump back in?
Yes, for sure. It's amazing how from one year to the next teams can transition to all of a sudden being not just a playoff team, but all of a sudden can be a top team. And not just the Vegas situation, but Colorado's a great example with the point swing that they've shown this year. A number of teams that were in the playoffs last year are either out of the mix or just trying to stay in the mix. But, it's that close. And, every year is kind of different. But we've been in a great situation here where every year we're pretty well in a mix from early in the year to the end, and this is the first year where we haven't been in it, but it's the can change so quickly. You got a lot of things going right. You're healthy. You got everybody's clicking. You got a lot of your top guys there. Everybody's playing well. I look at this year. The consistency was a little off this year, but I think getting back and having a great start, and our division is very competitive, but it's I think anybody could basically rise to the top when you look at the beginning of the season. Everybody believes they're a playoff team, and I would expect us to think like that as we approach next season.
Everything's a teaching moment, I suppose, and especially for the guys that have been there before, they got to hate this feeling, and I would assume there's some benefit in that. I don't ever want to be in this position again. I want to make the playoffs.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's the and once this year, when you look at it, the teams that are in are going to get in. They're anybody can win this year. It's one of those years where some teams look like they're a little bit heavily favored than others, but they've had big seasons in Tampa, and you look at you can look at Boston, you can look at Toronto, you can look at teams out in the West, and say Nashville's. But at the same time, I think this year is one of these years where, there's a lot of contenders, but I think anybody gets in can get the job done.
It's Coach Q. Good luck with Colorado tonight as we continue to try to tick them off here, winding down the clock for this season. And we look forward to talking to you next time, but have some fun behind the bench. Maybe start some trouble.
All right, there you go.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, guys.
That's Coach Joel Quenneville.
What kind of trouble?
I don't know. It's Q. He can do whatever he wants.
Yes, he can.
Sponsored by Hooters, America's wing joint.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Text question. If you're not voting today, I'd like to know why. Why? 312-981-7200 is the number. Some people asked earlier about how do I get the judicial rankings that the Illinois State Bar Association puts out. ISBA.org. And then just click on judicial evaluations. You will get a recommended or not recommended. What's the third category? There are three.
Highly recommended, not recommended, or recommended. Highly qualified.
HQ, so it'll say next.
So it's three stages,
out.
Like an A and a B
yeah,
and a C?
Yeah, exactly. Highly qualified, and it's fantastic because then it tells you a little bit about each judge or justice.
Well, it's good because instead of just going in and voting for everyone that has a name that sounds like yours, or you knew a nice right. Irish guy once, so you're going to vote for all the Irish judges, this takes 10 seconds of prep. ISBA.org, Judicial Evaluations. There's Ballotpedia.org. If you live in Cook County, you just mentioned another website. Chicago Elections.
Oh, ChicagoElections.com is excellent because I knew where I was voting, but last year they switched where my polling place was. So you enter your name, your address, it tells you where to vote, and then it gives you a sample ballot of Republican and Democrat.
Same
so you can decide.
Ballot PD kind of thing, but it's specific to
Cook really
County.
Good, and it's more concise as well, too, if you go to ChicagoElections.com.
All right, 312-981-7200. If you're not voting, I'd like to know why. Text me. CLTV joins us next hour, and that's next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, 11 minutes after 9, Justin Kaufman's music, because Justin Kaufman will join us in just a second.
Woo-hoo.
I'm wearing the Make America Vote Again hat again.
Looks good, by the way.
You should hear Justin. Nobody's going to vote. Nobody's going to vote.
Is that what you said?
Turnout's going to be way low.
Justin?
Nobody's
going to
vote. He did it in this voice, too. He goes, nobody's going to vote.
You did not. Early voting was the highest it's been. Was triple last year.
He's just mocking the effort.
Aww.
It's outrageous.
How does it feel to put so
much
effort into
and
to make
fail miserably?
And fail miserably, Steve.
Boy.
Yep, that's what he said. That's what he said. I don't make stuff up.
It's harsh.
More from him in a moment. Your text still at 312-981-7200. If you're not voting, I'd like to know why. And you could do it in just some sort of funny voice, too, if you want. 312-981-7200 is the text line number. And good morning, Justin Guffman.
Good morning.
What show are you doing tonight?
I am doing our election show. We have our election results show. We're doing it on WGNradio.com and on the app as the Blackhawks are on tonight. But we will have a full show with, I want to say, like a night of too many pundits.
So people calling in from all over?
Yeah, people calling in, but we'll have a ton of people coming through the studio. We'll be right here in the Allstate Showcase studio, and all the candidates will call in. We'll get the prereq, which is the reporters calling in going, a great party, people are dancing, they're having fun, that kind of stuff.
Until the actual results come in.
Depends on what headquarters you're at.
The crowd saw the results, but they're still very excited about a campaign that went so well.
Andrea was at the Hillary Clinton headquarters in 16. How do you think that party was?
The Javits Center. Oh, my God. Yeah. It started out as though it was the party of the century. They had an actual... The Javits Center is similar to McCormick Place on a smaller scale, so they have all the festivities upstairs and all the reporters downstairs, and there was a buffet and food and just there was a band. We had a band downstairs. There was a band upstairs. As the numbers started to trickle in, it just became just a... I hate to say funeral, but it was.
Is that the point where you start hoarding the food? Like, put it in the bag? Take
no,
it home
I did that early
Chicago?
On.
Got to take
I'm
something
like, oh,
out
chips.
Of it.
Nobody's eating anymore?
Exactly.
This is why you need to vote. Because if you have an issue with the current president of the United States, he got elected because millions of Democrats stayed home.
Right, because they just assumed it was
They thought it was over.
Sure.
And if you want Bruce Rauner to be the nominee today, and you think it's a lock... So you're not going to go and vote because you're a Republican. Well, don't be surprised if Jeannie Ives is a nominee tomorrow morning.
There you go.
Because the far right and the far left always show up. It's the people in the middle that need to show up. And again, everybody should show up. Why do you want to be represented by other people?
I show up just because my polling place is probably the best polling place in Chicago. It's in a seniors home on the west side, and I have so much fun with the election judges.
Aren't they fun?
They're so fun, and we are having a blast, and I ask them a bunch of dumb questions and do bits from the voting booth. Like,
I'm
who should
sure
I vote for?
That.
Who should I vote for on the 7th?
Sure, they love that. They're like, is he done yet?
Somebody come in here and get Justin Kaufman out.
Who do you like for Attorney General? They love that.
920, I'm not voting because I'm in Kansas. Mm. Well, vote in Kansas then.
You can early vote. Well, not anymore.
Yeah, right.
630, I hate Illinois' closed primary state. Perpetuates a corrupt system. And a lot of people brought this up this morning. Again, I'll say the same thing I said earlier. If you hate the fact that we don't have an open primary... The only way to change that is to exchange the people we have now with people who are willing to vote for an open primary.
Yeah.
That decision could be made very quickly.
Justin, yeah. I said to Steve, too, we're going to see a lot of millennials voting right now, a lot of first-time voters, 17 and a half. They can vote because they're going to be 18 in the general. So, you know, anybody who's in office who thinks that things aren't going to change, I'm going to be hearing those millennials down my neck.
I was going to say, there's a lot on the line because today, after today, we'll know who is set up essentially to run in the general for a lot of the House races in Illinois. And yeah. as you look towards the midterm, And what's going to happen in Washington?
Yeah,
today is the beginning of who that's going to be. So if you favor a candidate or you want to get out there and you want to see change in Washington, today is the day that starts.
Yeah.
Well, this is a big day for Donald Trump, mm-hmm. though he may not realize it. Because if you get a landslide sort of Democrat push for strong candidates against whoever's nominated on the Republican side, mm-hmm. you may see more Republican retirements. And what the Trump White House does not want is a Democrat control of the House and Senate.
Right.
Because not only is it a legislative concern, if the report comes back from Bob Mueller that Trump was involved in illicit, illegal, collusional activities with Russia, it's a little easier to impeach and remove. It's the only way to do it. Is if the House and Senate are both controlled by the Dems. But again, for the 8 millionth time, you don't want that. Turns the country upside down, destroys the economy. It's a hot mess.
This is the way to make change.
Vote people out. The people in charge, the people in power. Every rule you hate currently is because the people in power are making those rules and they have no incentive to change those rules.
Right.
Send a message. Turn out today. Fran.
Hi.
How you doing, Fran?
Pretty good. I have a problem. I have a disability, so I always vote by mail, and I never have a problem getting a ballot. This year, my sister got her ballot on the 5th. She sent it back. I didn't get mine, so I called the election board, and they told me it was mailed out on the 8th. I says, okay. It never came. I called them back on the 14th. They said they had to get special permission from their legal counsel. They're sending me a duplicate ballot, and it was going out on the 15th. As of yesterday, I never received a ballot to vote. Sunday, my assistant precinct captain came and says, why aren't you returning your ballot? I says, I don't have it. So they're supposed to send someone to my house to help me go to the bowling place and help me vote today.
Well, that's great. I love your effort. I love the fact that you're so committed to make sure you vote.
Well, you know, that's my right to vote.
It's your right, and you need to exercise it.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, you're in Chicago, right?
Yes, I live by Midway Airport.
So you're Garfield Ridge area.
Well, good for you, Fran. Good for you. Thank you for that.
That's great.
You're welcome.
Do you know how she was from Chicago? How she what she said there that tipped it off?
Andrea has Chicago radar.
I know.
She has her assistant precinct captain.
I know.
There's a lot of those in DuPage County.
I wanted to know what area she was in. So
I just love
Garfield
that that's
Ridge.
The job of an assistant precinct captain. Well, I haven't heard from Fran.
Is it right?
Right.
Isn't that cool, though? I mean, good
well,
for her, and she's voting.
Cool, okay. Depending
all right,
on
all right, how about this? How about this? A cool outcome.
Yes.
Yes. The
once
fact
she votes
and the
and
fact
gets
that
it
Fran
in.
Wants
they're,
to vote.
Yeah, they're the original Make America Vote Again.
Yes.
Crew.
Right.
The precinct.
Nobody's going to vote. Bob's from Elmwood Park.
How are you doing?
What's up, Bob?
I got a question. I voted today in Elmwood Park at my regular polling place, electronic ballots. And I noticed on the Republican ballot, there were no judges to elect. Hmm. And I was curious, why aren't the judges on both ballots?
What county are you in?
Cook County.
Gotta be judges.
I said I'm looking up.
No,
right
there
now.
Are, but the judges are going to run in the Democratic primary. His point is that he's got a Republican.
Oh, because
ballot.
You got to pull a ballot,
yeah.
And he's right because this.
Yeah, so why wouldn't that be duplicated?
Yeah, because I guess they have to do this. I guess it'd be a formality come November. Maybe this is just a primary for judges as well. And so if they're running,
yeah, but the judges don't declare party, do they?
They do,
but
they do.
Yeah, and they're on the. I just printed out all the judges that are up.
Okay, well that's a huge hole.
So no one is running on the Republican side for.
So if I go to court, so if I have a court case, I can request a Republican judge.
I don't think
no judges are assigned.
Yeah, but I understand. No, but I understand your point, Bob. Yeah, that's exactly right.
No, it's crazy and it's ridiculous.
Well, I did not realize that. That's a huge glitch in the system and another reason to change the rules, Bob. Thanks for the heads up.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call.
That's a great question, though. Can you go to court and ask for a Republican judge? No.
Hmm.
Judges are all assigned.
I'm going to try it next time I'm in court.
Judges are all assigned, and the only time a judge won't hear your case is if the judge recuses himself or herself.
Right.
630, texter, I want to vote, but I need to choose for what office. I'm not a straight party voter, So do I choose governor or local alderman? I have choices for both parties involved. Also, a referenda. I can only get a referendum ballot. No,
this is because of this, the way
blah, 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 because you have to pick a,
you gotta pick a ballot.
Yeah, you got to pick.
It does. I mean, it is hard, and it is very Chicago or very Cook County, and I guess the state of Illinois because of that. But
right.
This idea that you have to pick one party in your primary and you can't cross over.
Although the state referendums will be on both.
Right. I go in there and I'm like, can I get the Green Party ballot for? Yeah. For the Cook County president's office?
Can I get the super indie ballot? The indie? Can I get that one?
That's one of the complaints of young voters, too, is that they don't want to have to pick.
I know. It is an antiquated system to say that there are only two parties. And to have so much pushback against, let's try and diversify so it's not a two-party system.
Right.
And then get to the primaries and be like, you have to pick one of the two. It just reinforces the issue.
Yeah, but again, if you don't want to vote because you're frustrated with the system, you're not changing the system by not voting.
Yeah, right.
You're just reinforcing the problem that's there. Larry from Chain of Lakes called. We'll see if we can get to your call here in just a second. If you guys have voting issues you want to talk about.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You gotta go and get angry at all of my honesty. No, I try, but I don't do too well with apologies. I hope I don't run out of time, cause someone call a referee. Cause I just need one more shot, have forgiveness.
It's 925. Justin Kaufman's here. He's going to do a special election show tonight. We just go to WGNradio.com.
Yes, you go to WGNradio.com and the WGN app. And, we have a huge show. I've got a ton of great people coming in, candidates calling in. It's going to be, we'll do it right here in the Allstate Showcase studio. It'll be fun.
Larry's on the phone. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm curious. I went and did my voting this morning.
Yeah.
I'm in Lake County, and the ballots are in English and Spanish. Chicagoland area is the second largest Polish area in the world. Why is it not in Polish also? And why in Spanish? Because you must know English to pass the Constitution test to become a citizen.
The last part is one of those larger world questions, and thanks for listening. Hold on, Larry. As far as the Polish thing goes, I'm almost positive you have to make the extra call ahead of time, and they will provide you with a Polish ballot.
Yes.
Is that the way it works?
That's the case also, too. It depends on the concentration of people in your area, too, because I voted early one time in Chinatown, and the ballot was in Chinese, and then it was in English as well. So I think it depends on the concentration of your area, too.
The only issue with that call is I understand the idea that you have to know English to pass the Constitution.
Well, they're separate questions.
They're separate. I was going to say, because that would also apply to the Polish question.
Yeah, they're completely separate issues.
Yeah, then
Vito, what's up, Vito?
Hey, yeah, Cochran, is that Justin guy still there?
He's sitting right here.
Hey, that show you're doing tonight, when I went to my first polling place, I'm on my way to the third one now. No donuts, no coffee, no candy yet. What are you going to do about that recap? And Darla's told me to call in, too.
It's a great point, Vito. Vito, you're making great points. All logical, too, by the way.
He's
already voted three times.
I was going to say, there will be radio donuts. There'll be radio candy. There'll be radio pizza tonight.
Uh-huh.
You can hear me chomping on that stuff through the microphone.
847, I voted early, had a heart attack. Last week I had two stents put in, and I walked to my polling place so I could vote early. How about that?
There you go.
Nice job. 219, not voting because I live in Indiana and I'm sick of you people.
would they rather talk about the former governor's email? We could do that. You could do that for an hour.
The vice president, the former governor, has a children's book penned by his dog.
Oh.
Do you know about this?
I did not, no.
Yes, his dog apparently is the beloved dog. Is it a dog or a cat? I don't know. He's written a book. It's a kid's book, and it's selling quite well. John Oliver on Last Week Tonight covered it extensively.
I'm not too happy that the governor of Indiana, which is a big, big role, who's now the vice president, is using his AOL as his personal email. And regardless, I would just assume that any Russian hacker would be like, AOL? That's all I got to get through? It's AOL?
Right.
Well, I think it's clear that whether it's AOL or the encrypted government stuff,
and all of it's free game,
it's hackable.
Right?
Just federal officials don't use their private email server. Oh, wait.
630, not voting because it's not an open primary. We discussed that. 847, Steve, never voted in the primaries, but since I've been listening to you and WGN, I was there bright and early at 6:30 this morning and voted. Well, there you go.
Hey, all right.
Hey, good. You were wrong. Somebody
I
voted.
Was wrong. I will eat my words. People are listening to you, Steve.
Let's all
they
take
are.
Pictures at our polling places today after we vote, and we'll just bombard you with our texts.
We'll take pictures
of our
judges.
Selfies. Of our judges, yeah.
Yeah, stick around.
You know Kaufman?
Stick around. You're not going anywhere. More with Justin Kaufman coming up as well. Headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Orion Samuelson rejoins us. Justin Kaufman's here as well. Big O, how are you?
Doing well, thank you very much. The weather is warming up in the desert for the baseball fans.
Yeah, and warming up meaning what?
Well, we have been a little bit on the cool side weather-wise, and so we've been daytime highs in the 70s, even down into the 60s a couple of days last week. But now we're looking at 80s and maybe 90 in the next 10 days or so.
Yeah, well, it's going to be 45 here.
Well,
stick that in your
good.
Pipe and smoke it. What is the ag news of the week?
Well, today is National Agriculture Day. I know it's Election Day, but it's National Agriculture Day, and I am missing being in Washington, D.C.
Hug a farmer.
Pardon?
Hug a farmer.
Absolutely.
But only if you ask them first.
And thank him. Well, yeah, that might be a good idea, but thank him for the food and everything else that he provides that we have been taking for granted for a long time. And we really shouldn't, because when you look at countries around the world who don't have food, it is a serious situation. But here in the U.S., we produce so much more than we can eat that we have to be involved in the export market. And Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue was in Phoenix yesterday to talk to the National Grain and Feed Association, and he is an enthusiastic supporter of agriculture and trade. And he said agricultural exports could be at risk in any retaliation over tariffs implemented by the White House. So I know he does have the ear of the president, so let's hope the president hears what he is saying on this one concerning the trade situations that we're in. And it's kind of interesting. We've been talking about NAFTA and rewriting that 20-year-old agreement. And we get word from Canada, from the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, saying that President Donald Trump appears to be, quote, enthusiastic about coming to an agreement on NAFTA. And the trade officials of Mexico and Canada and the U.S. will get together for their 8th round of talks next month. And all three sides are saying they need to avoid interfering with Mexico's presidential elections in July. They're using that as a reason to move quickly. So
the thing
today on National Agriculture Day in Washington, and I really am missing being there because I've been there for the last 25 years or so for that. And the Secretary, Vice President Mike Pence will be involved in a program this morning. And then this afternoon, Secretary Perdue will be offering remarks at the National Press Club. A lot of attention being called in Washington to the importance of agriculture to the economy, total economy, not just the ag economy, but the total economy, and the need to come up with a farm bill and a trade bill that will allow American farmers and ranchers to do what they do better than anybody in the world.
The thing that frustrates me, the president doesn't, I don't think anyway, doesn't understand that farmers have to plan. And it's tough to plan if you believe you're going to have to adjust for something like NAFTA being taken away. And that affects the ag economy considerably. So make a decision and stick behind it.
And I have to commend Secretary Perdue. I think he does have the ear of the president. And so, you know, we were going to blow up NAFTA at the beginning of this episode, and now we are rewriting it and renegotiating it, according to the president. And so let's hope that we continue along that line instead of blowing up trade agreements.
Orion story that I really like. We had the mayor in last week. Gotham Greens has broken ground on a second Pullman greenhouse. It's going to be the city's largest agriculture greenhouse, nearly double the size of the current urban farm in Pullman. And I think we're seeing more a trend of this, that these farms being built in these urban areas. And I think that's only a good thing for the community and for agriculture as a whole.
Well, it's certainly good for the community. And yes, it is good for the agriculture community if we don't get set in our mind that this is going to feed the country and the world. It's a good contribution to our efforts to produce food, and I commend them for doing it and investing their money. But I remember 15 or 20 years ago, we were going to do a tremendous amount of hydroponic farming in the cities, and did for a while, a year or two, and then it kind of faded away. So I'm hoping this one does have an extended life and that it does what we want it to do.
Orion, Justin Kaufman here. I'm interested because it seemed like agriculture and a lot of farmers came out to support Donald Trump in 2016. As we look a year plus later, and there has been a lot of worry about the tariffs and of course the tax cuts and everything that goes into that. Where is agriculture from where you sit? Where are farmers and agriculture when it comes to the president? Do they feel like they're getting the support they need out of Washington?
I think many of them are, really, because I think the vote that put Donald Trump in from an agricultural standpoint was more a vote against Hillary than it was for Donald Trump. I mean, there were a lot of farmers who did not want Hillary to be in the White House, and the vote reflected that. No, you can never be totally satisfied when your program is not being supported totally and completely. So, yeah, they have lost some farmers and ranchers, but I'm telling you, I talked to quite a few ranchers in Arizona this past week. No question that they're supporting the president and working very hard to change his mind on some of the questions that they feel he is dealing with wrongly.
It's Orion Samuelson live from the desert. Enjoy your day, my friend.
And you too. Thank you.
Happy Ag Day.
Okay. Thank you very much.
See you, buddy. Well, it's too bad that he can't do what he always does.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Texters continue. 312, out of state, voted absentee. FYI, I voted Republican ballot so I could vote for a friend running for judge.
Okay.
Fun.
Good.
13th District in Palatine, if that's also your friend. 224, what is the website Rick mentioned for unbiased voter info? Rick, I don't know that Rick mentioned a website, Pearson.
ChicagoElections.com is.
You talked about that. I always talk about Ballotpedia. You got one?
The one that I is Governor Rauner for reelection.com. I think that there's a lot of.
I don't think you recommended that.
Information.
Ballotpedia, ballotpedia.org, or.
ChicagoElections.com.
For Cook County.
And if you want more information on the judges, this is an awesome site. We've been saying it all morning long. The ISBA.org. It's the Illinois State Bar Association. It not only has all the judges, it gives you a little description about all of them.
Yeah, click on the evaluation.
Yeah, HQ, highly qualified, are recommended, and are not recommended, but they tell you why. So it's not just, oh, we're not recommending them or they're highly qualified. But
so much better than a Yelp review.
Yeah.
It
would be cool if Yelp did the judges.
Yeah, I was going to say, in my situation, my website, I didn't do any of the candidates. I just did best fantasy baseball players. Highly recommended, not good. recommended, that kind of thing.
That's solid.
Yeah. That'll work too.
Yeah. It's a season.
Steve, as an independent, the last time I voted in the primary, I pulled an R ballot. This time I asked for a D. Now looking forward to the mail from both sides. Well, you asked for it. John DeCoss in his brand new knee joins us, and we'll tell you one more time about Justin Kaufman's show tonight, because you ought to be listening to it. It ought to be mandatory listening for everybody.
Live election results.
That's exactly right. There's going to be a test. We'll come back with that.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
950, wow, 954, pardon me and my phlegm. Justin Kaufman, tonight, what are you doing?
Live elections results for all the races, all the candidates. We are going to have a bunch of people in studio. We are going to go hour by hour, get the candidates to call in on whether they win, they lose. A traditional, fantastic night of election results. If you like the horse race, this is for you.
So wherever you're planning your primary election eve party,
that's right.
You know, have it on.
Put it on, right. WGNradio.com and the app as well, WGN.
Musical director John DeCosta is standing by. Did I tell you guys he's mad at me?
Uh-oh. Is he really?
Why? Yeah. He was supposed to come in today, and he's only got one leg, and I screwed up the transportation part, so he can't come until Friday.
Is he still waiting for you by the
No, I didn't leave him on the road.
Oh, okay.
No.
There's a pace bus.
He's got to be going nuts after a week and a half, you know, staying at home. So I'm not going to pull the plug on him Friday until at least Friday morning.
Do you think he's still talking to you?
Oh, hi, John.
In a little while from now,
oh,
not any less sour.
We love you, John.
I'm alone again. Actually,
hi, John. How's your knee?
Hey, I didn't know I was on.
Yeah. You were.
Hey, my knee is wonderful. I don't know why they had to remove my entire leg though to put it on.
It does seem wrong.
Pick it up next week.
John got a brand new knee installed last week and has been flawless in his therapy, and the doctors are quite surprised, but you're doing great.
Yeah, it's actually going really well. Hello, Justin.
Hey, John. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm very good. Yeah, it's actually going very well. I'm pleased as punch. Cannot believe that it is going as well as it is, but thank you. Thank you so much.
And going so well that Saturday night, John's going to be back on stage as we do a show at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake.
We like to call it my first stand-up comedy tour after knee surgery.
Right. It's a little long.
It
doesn't look great on the show.
And it rolls.
Yeah. And if you want to get tickets, we have plenty of room for you for this one at the Rouse Center. What do they need to do?
Well, you can go to therousecenter.org on the internet, as we like to call it. Their website, or you can call the box office directly at 815-356-9212. It's the 24th, this Saturday, 8 o'clock. Mike Toomey from WGN Morning Television, myself, you, Tim Banker. It's just stand-up. It's just a lot of fun. And I'm going to show everybody my knee.
That'll be a good talk. Cool. Did you hear the way he said you?
Yeah, like you.
Mike Toomey, Tim Banker, you.
Well, you left him on the side of the road.
I didn't leave him. I didn't get him.
He shouldn't actually be standing up.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I had the state sheriff's office pick me up. So if that's any indication of how I got back, whatever.
Whatever.
That's angry John DeCosta and his new knee. You know, you've changed since that knee was put in.
Yeah, well, apparently I did not know this. A lot of my personality was actually in the cap.
Yeah, in the kneecap itself. Yeah, totally understandable. Medical science has known that for a long time. All right, John, hold the line. You've won nothing. We'll see you Saturday night at the Rouse Center.
We love you, John. Don't lump us in with Steve. We love you.
Justin Kaufman, when you get back on the regular Justin Kaufman show, here's something you can run to the bank with. Last week, the Chicago Public Schools Science Fair found out that after 68 years, the Museum of Science and Industry will no longer host the fair.
No.
For 68 years, the Museum of Science and Industry has decided they can't host it due to budget constraints.
Wow.
We need to take this up and run with it.
That's a bummer. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah, I didn't know that.
We need somebody else that's willing to run the fair. We need to find funding. Okay. So I'll help you with this. We'll do it in the morning. You do it at night.
All right. I'm down.
And thank you, Mary, for that. Mary Scanlon, thanks for the heads up.
Can we host it right here in the Allstate Showcase studio?
Sure. It's going to limit the project.
After we move?
Well, it's going to limit the project. We've got plenty of room in the tower. There's room on every floor.
We committed to this fair a couple months ago. Sorry, guys. You got to do it.
Yeah. Right.
That's what we'll tell the new Tribune Tower owner.
Seventh floor. Kids who had their dads do the project. Seventh floor. Good to see you, man.
Good luck tonight, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Any predictions for tonight? I'll give you one. Okay. Kennedy in an upset over Pritzker.
Oh, interesting.
That'd be a big upset.
I don't have any predictions. I do have predictions on who might replace Justin Turner at third base for the Dodgers, but
That's not part of your primary ballot.
Primary.
Dave and Justin will discuss that. Bill and Wendy are next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
My final request, please vote today. It's important. Bill, Wendy?
Steve, did you join the Bowery Boys? You look like you're all the Bowery Boys put in one.
I have the Make America Vote Again hat on backwards,
yes.
And it's part of my day-long tribute to Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra, the great Yankees catcher.
I'm taking my son Michael, who's 18, to vote for the first time ever today.
That's cool. You know, Rick Geezer.
Yes.
Rick Geezer and his son just voted. First time for his son.
But they're the same age. I cannot wait to do it. We're going to do it this afternoon.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I
was trying to get Abigail to vote yesterday, and she kept going, animal crackers, animal crackers. I go, it's Chicago. I can get you registered.
Twice.
That's her party?
Yes. Yeah, her party is any party. All right, you guys, take it.